Welcome to Awesome Talk, a production of Arkansas State University Mountain Home with support from KTLO. Hi, I'm Christy Kern, and I'll be introducing you to the awesome people and programs right here in our community on the campus of ASU Mountain Home. Welcome to Awesome Talk this week. We are so excited to have you join us. It's wonderful to be able to tell the stories of the people and the programs at ASU Mountain Home. And I have never been as excited in my life as I am to spend this time with somebody I love. Her name is Emily Noblin. We call her Emily at school. We'll talk about this in a minute. But her name is really Annie England Noblin. And I'm kind of a fangirl of Annie's, big time fangirl. She is living my dream, really. She rescues animals, dogs, cats. She writes books about dogs and romance and everything else good about the world today. And she really lives my dream. And I wanted y'all to meet her because she is one of our instructors at ASU Mountain Home. And there is nobody on earth that I would rather take a class from or be friends with than Annie England Noblin. And I'm so excited that you are here to tell your story.
Oh, thank you. That was such a sweet intro.
Oh, my gosh. I'm totally fangirling right now. Tell me who you are. I want to know. Like, I can read off the back of this book that you live in the Missouri Ozarks with your husband and your little boy and dogs and cats and all that.
Yes.
But who are you and where did you come from, sweet girl?
I'm a big old mess. That's who I am.
That's why you write so
that's
well.
That's why I write. Yes, that's what I tell people. I'm creative, so that makes it okay. Yes.
Aww.
Yes, it doesn't usually. People don't believe that, but I try.
You're my favorite kind of mess. You are adorable. Oh, my gosh. Where did you grow up?
So I was born in Mississippi, actually.
That's why I love you.
Yes, I was born in Flowood, Mississippi. My parents had a cattle ranch in Utica.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So, but I grew up in Koshkonong, Missouri, which is, I don't know, like an hour, 15 minutes from Mountain Home.
Okay.
Close to Arkansas.
Never even heard of it.
That's so funny. So many people here haven't, and it's not that far away. It's close to Mammoth Spring.
Okay.
So most people know where Mammoth Spring is. It's
sure.
Like 10 miles from Mammoth Spring, so it's basically Arkansas.
I'm learning so much. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm from Mississippi, too.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, people from Mississippi just tell stories.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. Think of all the authors that came out of Mississippi.
Yes.
And now Emily Noblin, we're going to say, we're going to claim it. We're going to claim that you, talent came out of the ground in Mississippi.
I agree.
So when did you move to the Ozarks?
I was about four, probably. My mother is from West Plains.
Okay.
So this was home. My dad's from Louisiana, but West Plains was home. So that they moved back to be closer to her parents, and we've been here ever since.
Wow. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Missouri State West Plains for 2 years.
Okay.
So I'm a community college
advocate.
Kid, yes.
A product.
Yes. And then I went on to, at the time, it was Southwest Missouri State University in Springfield. It's MSU now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that's where I got my bachelor's degree and my master's degree.
What's your master's in?
Creative writing and English.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Of course it is. And you teach?
I teach English and communications.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So how in the world does a person ever work up the courage to write a book?
I don't know.
Well, how did you do it? Because I've never known anyone like you who, you're young. How old are you?
Oh, I'm 39.
Gosh.
Youngish.
Young. Oh, my word. You've got guts, sis. I think you've got guts and talent, of course.
Well, thank you.
But there's so many great writers who just struggle through life and don't have the courage to put pen to paper.
I think that's the hardest part is actually writing the book. Everything that comes after can be difficult, but finishing the first book, I think, is the most difficult thing because then you know you can do it after you do the first one. So there's no excuse not to. But if you never try, then you never, you know, so you just have to do it. And
how
that's
do
hard.
You know you can?
I don't think you can know. I just decided I'm going to write this book, and if nobody ever reads it, that's fine. I'm going to write it and get it done and show myself that I can do it. And then if it doesn't go anywhere, then that's okay. I'll try another.
Wow. Okay, so the first one was Sit, Stay, Speak.
Yes.
With the most precious picture of a puppy on the cover.
Yes, he's a famous puppy.
Oh,
his name is
darling.
Butters, and he's more famous on Facebook than I am.
What?
Yes, he has he's actually a rescue pit bull from Minnesota, and that's his puppy photo. So he's a real live dog.
I did not know this.
Named Butters, and he has his own Facebook page.
I would have been following him.
He's the best. We love him.
Oh,
he's
my
wonderful.
Gosh. So when I knew that this book was coming out, I mean, literally, I was so excited. I've been in book clubs for years, and I just was so excited to actually know you. And this little book just speaks to me because you have got such a heart for animals, and I just can't even tell the story of your first book. Tell the story of it to our friends.
Well, it's about a woman named Addie who inherits this house in the Arkansas Delta. And those of you who are from Arkansas know it's a lot like the Ozarks. It's like its own little country. So she is from Chicago. And she doesn't have a lot of experience with a Delta, but she inherits this house from her aunt, and she moves there after a personal tragedy because everyone loves a good, you know.
A good tragedy.
A good tragedy. And so she moves to this little bitty town called Eunice, Arkansas, which is basically Helena because I had actually, that was my first full-time teaching job was for Phillips County Community College of the University of Arkansas, which is the longest college name ever.
Oh, but I love it.
That was my first full-time teaching job was in Helena. And so I came up with this idea while I was in Helena working with animals in animal rescue and that kind of thing. And so she moves there and she finds this abandoned puppy and they sort of save each other.
Right.
And of course, there's a little bit of romance. She does, you know,
always.
Farmer,
right?
Got to. There's a little bit of mystery and a little bit of romance and lots of puppies.
Oh, I love this book. I love this book. It just gives me chills. And I got to tell you, oh, you have taken it from this book to what now? Five.
My sixth book comes out in June.
And I'm not, people listening, this is not self-published. This is big time. This lady is published by, William Morrow.
William Morrow, which is an imprint of HarperCollins.
Oh, my gosh. So tell me how did this get published?
So, I finished it and I thought, okay, I wanted to find an actual publisher. I didn't want to go the self-publishing route. Not because there's anything wrong with that, but because I don't have the capability to put myself out there. I'm very introverted. Nobody believes that, but it's
Nobody
true.
Nobody believes that.
Nobody believes that.
Nobody
it
listening
true.
Should believe that. But I'm with you. I'm kind of a closeted introvert.
It's just hard. I'm not good at selling myself. It doesn't come naturally. So the first thing you have to do is find a literary agent because you cannot send just an unsolicited manuscript to any of the big five publishers in the United States.
Right.
So you have to find a literary agent and you don't pay them. They essentially work for you. So they have to accept your work. They have to want to represent you because they're the middleman in between you and the big publishers.
Right.
So the first thing you have to do is just send them unsolicited.
Good
Lord. A cover letter. It's called a query letter. You send that. You tell them what the book is about. And then if they want to read more, then they ask for it. And so I got lots of rejections of over 100 times.
No, did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. If you want to do this, you have to be willing for people to tell you no a lot.
That takes guts.
It's just, you just have to.
You have to believe in what you're doing.
You either have to believe in it or you have to be just blindly, you know.
My word.
Optimistic. I'm not sure which one.
It's like somebody tells me no one time, I run for my life with my tail tucked and pretend that never happened.
You just have to be stubborn.
Oh.
It's that Mississippi stubborn. You've got to be.
Oh.
You have
a
stubborn streak.
Oh.
I can tell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So yes. You get an agent. You get a literary agent.
You get a literary agent, which I've managed to do. And I love her and she's wonderful. And oh, my gosh.
She has to be your best friend now.
We're actually very close.
Oh, man.
A very good friend. If she weren't my literary agent, we would still be friends. And so she started sending my manuscript, which at the time was just called Stay, out to publishers, and we got lots of rejections. So I took it back and I reworked it. We sent it out again, and we finally got a couple of bites. And William Morrow was just the best offer and the best editor, and we were just thrilled.
I can't get over it. I mean, it's like the biggest name in the industry. It's just such a big deal.
It was, I was at work when I got the phone call.
Oh, my gosh.
It was finals week 2014. I remember.
No.
I was sitting in my office and...
like deja vu today.
Yeah.
Huh?
Kelly Thomas and Brandy Proctor were actually in my office when my literary agent called. And you know when your literary agent calls, it's a good thing. When they call
you. Oh,
you
do? It's good?
It's good when they call. It's not bad when they email. But if you get a phone call that's not scheduled, you know something good has happened.
What in the world did
you
do?
I was so excited, and I just started jumping up and down, and I had to – I wrote it out on a piece of paper to tell them, because they were just sort of standing there like, what is – why are you acting this way? So I had to write it. I was so excited. Yeah. Best day.
Oh, my word. So how long does it take to go from that call to a published book?
About a year. Actually, more than that. That was May of 2014. The book came out in September of 2015.
Wow.
I started writing the book in 2012,
Good
in August.
Gracious.
So it takes some time from start to finish.
Yeah.
And really, the writing is almost the shortest part. It's everything that comes after, the selling it, you know, the getting... it edited, all of that stuff.
Oh, my word. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Annie Noblin is going to tell us more about her journey to books on shelves in bookstores and how you can do this yourself if you've got a dream.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. We're going to come back in just a minute and continue our conversation with Annie.
Have you ever dreamed of designing your own website or to help save lives as an EMT, paramedic, or nurse? It's never too late to start achieving your dreams, and you can start right here in Mountain Home at ASUMH. Spring enrollment is now open, whether it's computer, nursing, criminology, farming, or more. If you can dream it, you can be it. Start achieving your dreams by enrolling in spring classes at ASU Mountain Home today. View the available courses at asumh.edu or call 508-6201.
We are back with Awesome Talk, and today I am fangirling over my guest, who is Emily Noblin, Annie Noblin. Depends on... Okay, let's just get this out of the way right now. Emily or Annie?
I go by Annie in daily life, but my first name is Emily. My name is actually Emily Ann, and my parents did this horrible thing where they call me Annie.
Okay.
Which is neither one of my names, so it's really fun.
Wowzer. Mm-hmm. And how do you, I mean, like, you just answer to both?
I do.
Okay, good.
I
so
yep.
I'm never wrong.
You're never wrong.
Okay, good, because I always say it wrong. Whatever I think I'm going to say, it always comes out the other one. Anyway, I love you, and I can't even stand that you're here and that we're talking about books, my favorite thing in the world, and dogs, my other favorite thing in the whole world.
Agree.
So you wrote Sit, Stay, Speak. And then what happened?
Then in the time between selling Sit, Stay, Speak and it being published, I wrote another book.
Okay.
Called Just Fine with Caroline.
And that's precious.
It's set in Missouri. So it's first book is set in Arkansas. Second book is set in Missouri because I like to write about what I know.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yes.
It's set in the Missouri Ozarks.
Yeah.
And it's about another young woman, not too many tragedies in her past, but she lives at home with her parents because her mother is suffering from Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So she runs her parents' bait and tackle shop called The Wormhole, which I thought was terribly clever.
I love it.
At the time,
best.
I thought, oh, so clever.
It's
yeah,
the best.
It was fun. It was super fun. And so she's just kind of out there living her 25-year-old life, and mm-hmm. of course she meets a guy.
Of course.
Yes, who happens to kind of be the mortal enemy of her family. So it's an interesting little entanglement she gets herself into.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a dog.
There's a dog, yes.
There's
a Tibetan Mastiff.
Oh my gosh.
This one. Three-legged Tibetan Mastiff. I also think she's deaf. I like to give my dogs special
tragedy
things.
As well.
As a rescuer of special Aww. Needs animals, I like to sort of throw that in there because they are the best.
Yes.
Old dogs, special
I
needs
know.
Dogs are the best dogs.
They appreciate everything you
they
do for
do.
Them.
And I like old dogs so much.
I know. They have souls. I just love them too. Oh my gosh. So you wrote the second book while you were waiting on the first book to actually come out.
Yes.
So you're sticking with the literary agent at this point who
oh,
is
yes.
your girl.
Yes.
And she's selling them the second book.
Yes. So
okay.
a couple weeks after my first book came out, we sent the second book to my editor, who I call, she's my editor. She's been my editor since 2014 at HarperCollins, and she bought that book too. And so that was a completed, finished book like Sit, Stay, Speak was. And
wow.
then, yeah, and that book came out in 2016.
okay, keep going.
And then after that, it was really cool because
do they
then,
say, Annie, keep writing?
Yes. I tell myself I have to keep writing because now I have a I have another means to help support my family. So it's great. So I wrote my third book, which is called Pupcakes. And that book, actually, my editor sent my lit agent an email and said, listen, we need a Christmas book with a dog. So would Annie be interested in writing a book like that?
And I was
like, yes. And that book is set in Memphis.
Love it.
And that was really fun. I loved writing that book because it was very lighthearted. It didn't have sort of that those heavy undertones like the first two books did.
Right.
Because it's a Christmas book and it's fluffy and Hallmark and it was super fun.
I love it.
So that was book number three. And then book number four was The Sisters Hemingway.
Yes.
And it
I haven't read that book, actually.
It sort of follows Just Fine with Caroline. So it's second in kind of a series that's set in the same town. It has different characters, but the town is exactly the same.
Okay.
And then book five was St. Francis Society for Wayward Pets, which came out last January.
Good Lord.
Right as the pandemic hit. That was really fun.
What do you do? Like, they just carry on with everything that's planned? Or they say, hang tight, we got this?
I did two book things. One at Barnes & Noble in Springfield. And then I always do a book launch in West Plains at Wages Brewing Company because they're buddies and it's so much fun to have a book launch there.
Yeah.
So I did those two things in January. And then after that, it was like everything was shut down. So I did some, radio interviews and I did a couple podcasts and that was really fun. But I didn't get to go anywhere or do anything because you couldn't. You couldn't. This is the first time I've actually been somewhere and talked about something in over a year.
Good grief.
So I'm rusty.
Oh, you're not rusty. You got stories to tell. I'm just blown away. I'm blown away by the process. I'm blown away that you can sit here like a normal human and talk about it. It blows my mind. So I got to ask you, in 150 years, this book comes out and it's all about Annie Noblin's life. What is the title going to be?
Pretty much, She's a Mess, which is exactly what I told you at the beginning.
It.
Yes.
Not true.
It is 100%
accurate.
Nobody.
Yes. And what's the blurb going to be?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
She's a mess, but
has lots of cats.
Has lots of ideas. Has lots of stories to tell.
She's creative, so
it's
okay.
Oh, my gosh. We love her. I mean, whatever. Whatever the blurb says, buy it. No, I'm just so proud of you, and I'm so proud that
Thank
our
you.
Students get to learn from someone like you. I can't fathom it. When I was a student, I didn't have a person like you who had done the thing that so many people dream of. I can't believe that the students at ASU Mountain Home actually get to take your classes and, like,
Poor things.
Like normal, you're so normal. I'm so grateful that you took the time to tell us your story because it is really one of the gifts of ASU Mountain Home. It's one of the things that we have that nobody else has. And like I said, that our students can learn from you, a published writer, not self-published, though there's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking like this girl is big time. And you can find her online. There are lots of different ways to find her if you want to learn more about her or her books. Twitter, Facebook, Insta?
Insta,
okay.
Yes. All the things.
All the things.
All the things.
Do you go by Annie or Emily?
Annie.
A.E. Noblin. So you can get Annie and Emily in there. A.E. Noblin.
Annie England Noblin.
Okay. On Facebook, Annie England Noblin.
Yes.
And so follow this chick online. You will not regret it. I promise you. Because things are going to continue to come out because she's got the stories in her head.
So many.
Okay. So tell me what you tell students in the classroom every day. Pretend I'm a student. Teach me.
In creative writing?
Yeah.
I tell my students to write a little bit every day, even if it's terrible, even if it's a little bit, even if you go back and erase it later, write something. Because if you will establish that habit of writing a little something every day, then it'll continue. Even, like I said, even if it's not good, even if it has nothing to do with the project you're working on, write something every day.
Okay. Where do you find inspiration?
Well, my students help. My students, I learn so much from them. I feel like they teach me more every semester than I could ever teach them.
I would agree.
Because they have their own stories and their own lives and their own passions, and I get so much from them. It's just such a rich community being in the classroom.
Yeah.
And so, what was the question? I started talking about my students.
It went
waxing poetic about my students, and now I don't know where we're going.
But here's what I love about that because the question was, how do you find inspiration?
Oh, yeah.
And so, how do you help students find their inspiration?
I tell them to start writing what they know.
Okay.
So what's their story? Why are they who they are?
Right.
What's behind? Because so often they say, well, I'm boring. I don't do anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is absolutely not true. There's something about your life. You have passions. You have hobbies. You have kids. There are things about your life that are interesting and good and worthy of telling a story. So that's where we start.
Okay. And do you get hung up on punctuation and grammar? Like, tell me.
Always.
You do. Okay.
From like, in my writing?
The teacher's perspective.
Only in the classroom.
Okay.
And I only do it so that they can see where, because if you're going to send something out to a literary agent or a publisher, you don't want them to lose the great story that you're telling because you don't know where a comma goes.
Right.
So you want your story to come through. And if you want your story to come through, then you have to have that technical stuff taken care of first.
That's a good answer. Great answer.
Thank
because
you.
So many people feel like those things aren't important. And
they are
so important. Okay,
they
so
are.
Listen to your English teacher,
yes,
and your communications teacher and your creative writing teacher. Creativity doesn't mean that you don't use commas.
Unless you're writing poetry, it matters.
Okay. Annie, I can't thank you enough for coming. I really can't.
Thank you for having me.
This has been
fun.
So much fun. I promise you. And we'll have more of our instructors come on Awesome Talk and tell you the great things about their lives. But I had to start with Annie England Noblin. Miss Emily,
you.
One of my favorite people, has got a story to tell. And keep watching for her books because they're going to keep coming out. This has been Christy Kern, and I thank you for listening to Awesome Talk. We'll be back next week with another edition, and we'll keep telling you about the people and programs at ASU Mountain Home. Thanks for listening to Awesome Talk. We're so excited to tell you about the great things going on our campus. And if you know someone who's awesome that you'd like to hear more about or from, please contact me at ASU Mountain Home and let me know who that is, and we'll try to get them on a show. I am Christy Kern. I'm at 508-6109, and I would love to hear from you. If you need more information about getting started at ASUMH, you can visit our website at asumh.edu.
This has been Awesome Talk, a production of ASU Mountain Home.